Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Do you hear how confident Jennifer Wakeman was doing the news there? When you're 47 out of 48 in the NCAA tournament in the bracket, of course you're going to sound that confident. She's number two to Lawrence in the company pool. It's amazing. Where do we find these people?
Lawrence doesn't have this locked up yet.
No, he doesn't. I have confidence, though. They should be hosting this show. Every once in a while, Jen, it was great. It was awesome. Mark came on in the first half hour. We had so much fun. Mark, thanks for doing that. And, you know, every once in a while, Jen pops in, too. Jen's a riot on the air. You hear Jen deliver the news, but you put her in an ad-lib situation. That is one very sharp individual right there. Enjoy talking with her very much.
She's got the acting theater background, so, you know, thinking, right, yeah, got to be on your toes.
Well, you do. Yeah. I mean, she's very good at it, yes. Our play-by-play call of the day, Emmanuel Mudiay at the buzzer.
Mudiay crossed the half-court line, lost the basketball, picked it back up, shoots it, got it into Hard! The rookie buries the Sixers from 26 feet, and Denver wins the basketball game!
And welcome to another season of Sixers basketball. All right. Even when you think they've got it, they don't. What the heck is their record this year? What is the Philadelphia record? I got to look this up. I think Mudiay was going to go to SMU. He ended up playing a year in China. Then was drafted. And I want to say Denver had, the fourth or fifth overall pick? He ended up going there. He's had a good rookie season. Not a great one, but a good rookie season. And
Sixers are 9-63.
They're 180 of the Warriors.
And a 7-game losing streak in progress.
Oh, they can do better than that. And they have. Okay. NASCAR, by the way, fining Danica Patrick $20,000. For an incident on the track. Wow. I guess she stepped toward somebody's car threatening. They fined her $20,000.
Not good on the day before her birthday.
No, I'm sure that the... Yeah. Did you see former Alabama and NFL player Kevin Turner lost his battle with ALS? He was only 46 years old. Played with the Eagles. He played with the Patriots. 6-year battle with ALS, just 46. Steve Smith, of course, played here at Penn State. Played for the Raiders. Actually, when he played with the Raiders, really, really good. He's been battling it for, my goodness, a long time. And it's sad. I mean, it's really sad. And Tim Shaw, of course, who played here at Penn State in the 2000s, came up as a running back, then was a linebacker, then played defensive end his senior year, I want to say 2007, then went on and played in the NFL for years with the Carolina Panthers, the Tennessee Titans, so forth. And, of course, we know Tim has been diagnosed with ALS, and I think Tim was diagnosed with ALS, I want to say 2 years ago. And the last time I saw Tim was about a year ago. Tim Shaw, I'm talking about. And you could see some of the signs of it. It's just unbelievably sad. So many things are unbelievably sad, but I mean, it's just unbelievably sad. You've watched people who are great athletes. Kevin Turner was a great athlete. Steve Smith, great athlete. Tim Shaw, great athlete, could play on either side of the ball. He would have been a really good running back at Penn State. And ended up being an outstanding linebacker, defensive end, stand-up defensive end spot for Penn State, and then went to the NFL, and he played on special teams and was a Pro Bowl alternate one time on special teams. You have to be a really good athlete to be on special teams. And then you see this happen. You're like, my goodness, it just rips your heart out. ALS is very much, to me, what it does to the body, what Alzheimer's does to the mind. And obviously, I know firsthand. For people who don't know, I lost my father 11 and a half years ago. And he was only 71. And he had Alzheimer's. And the first signs of it with him were when he was about 59. But he was able to, you know, he kept running his business until he was 64. And I remember talking to him on the phone the night he decided to retire from the business. And my brother then took over the business. We decided to step away. And how hard it was for him to do it. And I remember with him, when he was still running the business, I remember going in and you know, I gave, you know, I can get, in the whole honesty, I gave one of those pep talks. And I remember going in, I was telling him, he says, you know, Dad, you know, sitting in his office, I said, Dad, you know, if anybody would see a real change in you, it would be me, because, you know, I'll go a couple, 3 months without seeing you. And I, Dad, I don't see any change at all. You could see his eyes kind of brighten up for a moment, because part of Alzheimer's, which then dovetails into ALS, is confidence. And you're talking about ALS, the confidence of being a great athlete, or even if you're not, of one day standing there and being able to control, okay, I can control my hand, and then suddenly you can't. And then, of course, on Alzheimer's, in his case, the ability, and this man started a business from scratch. He started a sheet metal fabrication business from scratch. You have to have, and again, I'm obviously deeply prejudiced, he was my dad. You have to be a brilliant man to do that and have a successful 30, now, it's now nearly 50-year business. This is the 50th year of the business. My brother's running it today. My dad started the business in 1966. So 50 years. And to see everything just go away is so hard. And I mentioned Kevin Turner dying of ALS. And, of course, you know, again, you start seeing the signs and the lack of control and the deep sadness of it. And I saw the same thing. I've seen the same thing in Alzheimer's patients, where suddenly it's like, can't remember things, can't remember anything, can't remember anything recently. And it just, you feel like at that point you watch somebody die twice. I mean, it's like watching them die twice. I mean, and that's so sad. So sad. I probably have mentioned it on the show before. Maybe not this in depth, but you know, it just turned out that, you know, Kevin Turner played for the Eagles. A lot of people know that, and I've seen Steve Smith with it, Tim Shaw, and it really, I see some parallels physically versus mentally between the two, and it is awfully, awfully hard for the individual. But it is also awfully, awfully hard on family and friends and caretakers. Very difficult. And believe me, the mental well-being of the caretaker is something you cannot put to the side, because the caretaker is throwing his or her heart and soul in every single day out of love to somehow keep things going. And they need a boost in help from time to time, too. Enough of the serious stuff. This is allegedly a fun show. Sean's looking around saying, where's the fun? I don't, what happened to the fun of the show? Come on, it was fun when Lawrence was on.
No, thank you for thank you for sharing that. That's a side of you that I think a lot of people didn't know about.
Well, it was hard, and that's always been one for me personally. I think I've told the story before, and I know Mark Lawrence commented on the story that I told one time, that when I was in college, Penn State was going to play a basketball game against Syracuse in Rec Hall, and Jim Boeheim was the coach, and this was 1978. So Boeheim's the coach, a young Jim Boeheim, and yes, a young Steve Jones. And I was going to do the game on college radio, and my dad deep down wanted me to take over his business. I mean, and that, believe me, I can do things. I mean, it's not as if I can't. I mean, you want to have me go in and run a press break, a tool and die machine? You want me to weld? I can do all that stuff. Because I did that for him every summer for years and through college and actually back into high school. And every break, I was always in there working for him. And I wasn't in there sweeping. I was making parts. And I think deep down, he always wanted me to, but he never said it. Because my father was not a talker. But he drove out with his friend Harold Daigneau. And he sat in the corner of Rec Hall. And I remember exactly which corner it was. I remember what row he was in. With an old transistor radio, because it was 1978, and listened to me do the entire game. Then we went down to the corner room after the game, and he's telling me, along with his buddy Harold, what a great job I did in the game. And even though I stunk, right? even though I wasn't very good, I'm sure. And that was his way of telling me, hey, look, I ended up being my own man because I branched out and did what I wanted to do. This is me telling you to do the same thing. And that always meant a lot to me that he did that. So I know I've told that story on the air before, but that's one of the biggest regrets I ever had was that when I got the football job full time in 2000, the last game he went to ever at Penn State was the Penn State Louisiana Tech game in 2000. Penn State had lost the opener to USC. In fact, I was just talking to Jordan Palmer about that last week because Carson Palmer, he says, oh, that was Carson's first ever start. He says, you did that game. I said, yeah. And this Carson Palmer was just a sophomore then. And then they lost that game to Toledo. Well, they beat Louisiana Tech, I want to say like 66-7 or 67-6 or some number like that. And my dad sat in the stands with a pair of headphones on, listening to me do the game with Jack. But in all honesty, Sean, I'm not really sure he knew it was me doing it. And so, you know, so in other words, he never really, and he loved football, but he never really, I think, could grasp that I was the guy doing the games. You know what? We all have little regrets here and there. That's one of the things for me. I've always regretted that he, you know, it's your dad, for goodness sakes. At some point, you want to impress him with something. You don't want to, all those times he disciplined you, you want to make it feel like it paid off somewhere. And I told the story about my mother. Because my mother always said, you should be an engineer. You should be an engineer. If I had a dollar for every time she said I should be an engineer, Sean, okay, I wouldn't be working now. Because I would have saved all those dollars. And then I was doing the public address announcing in the stadium. And then when I got offered the play-by-play job to do football, right, she called me up and she said, now, are you sure you want to change and do this? I mean, the stadium thing is 100,000 people there. You know, I said, well, yeah, Mom. I believe me, this is like a major step up. And she said, are you sure? So all I did was I did not tell her the dollar figure. All I gave her was the percentage increase monetarily I was going to get. I just gave her the percentage. And there was silence for a moment, and then I heard, I think you made the right choice. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us. We roll through the afternoon together. Bottom of the hour, we'll have news. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our sports bozo of the day is going to be an interesting one today. And we'll get that to you. News and notes. Not a lot of news and notes going on. Just the games are coming up tonight. And the opening game this evening is at 7:10. It's in Louisville at the KFC. All together now. Yum Center.
Yum.
Yum. Miami and Villanova. And as Sean mentioned on the Facebook page and also on Twitter, we've put out Dick's article from the Daily News. Then the game at 7:37 this evening is out at the Honda Center in Anaheim, where Texas A&M takes on Oklahoma. Back to Louisville for Maryland and Kansas at 9:40. And the nightcap back to Anaheim, Duke against Oregon. That will be at 10:07. Bruce Arians, head coach with the Arizona Cardinals, vigorously defended football in light of the CTE discussion. He said he's sick of people bashing football. He said people say that I won't let my son play football are fools, he told Monday Morning Quarterback in a video interview. And, of course, now we know the CTE situation. The New York Times said that there were, approximately 100 players they didn't throw in as in the survey, including Steve Young, Roger Staubach. All right, that's a big story today. Check out the New York Times for that. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said that a link is absurd. He later amended his remarks to say that the issue needs to be studied further. Arian said, he said, look, we have this fear of concussion that is real, but not all of those statistics, I think, can prove anything. Arians only had praise for the game. This is the greatest game in the world. He said, I think it teaches more values than any other game that you play. You have things that happen in your life that aren't going to be good. If you play football, you know how to handle them. It doesn't necessarily equate in track and other things. Football is a great game that does teach a multitude of things. There's no question about that. I also think baseball does that. I think basketball does it. Hockey does it. I think that, I think sports, I don't care, any kind of sport, I think teaches more than just the sport. There is a discipline to it. There is a camaraderie to it. There's a view of teamwork to it. There is a way to overcome failure. There's a way to achieve success. There's a way to handle success. And sports does all of that, and I agree with it. I think there's a lot of talk about what football does and doesn't do on the concussion side. I think if you are smart about how you go about this, it becomes less of an issue. The game you're going to have will have hitting in it. There's no question about it. But you are padded with padded helmets, shoulder pads, knee pads, okay, hip pads, and so forth. And just like you're going to have shoulder separations, you're going to have a broken bone in the hand. You may get an ACL. The door is going to be open because of the nature of the sport. There could be a concussion. But statistically, there are more concussions in soccer, for example, than there are in football. Does that make soccer an evil sport? No. Would I let my children play soccer? Absolutely. Did I let my boys play football? Absolutely. Great sport. The way they practice now, Sean, is different than the way they practiced years ago. You're not allowed, for example, to have consecutive two-a-days in the preseason in college football. In the Big 12, you're only allowed 2 days of hitting in pads. But the second one's the game. So in other words, you only have one practice a week in pads. The rest of the NCAA has a rule, 2 days in pads, plus then the game makes three. So you're only in pads hitting 2 days a week, but you don't do as much hitting in practice as people realize. You now do a lot more of thud, tag off, where, you know, thud is the, you go in to the position of, I go in and boom, I hit and I rap and then I let you go. And it's proper tackling technique. Thud is proper tackling technique. Right, tag off is getting into position, boom, in that position, then tagging off, and they keep going, where there's no helmet-to-helmet contact. I think that kind of practice lessens the possibility of head injuries, and that's what we're seeing across the board in college football. Now, the Ivy League has taken it to an extreme. There's no contact allowed at all, except for thud and tag off during the season. They've all voted to do that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You're a perpetual point misser. That was good. Lawrence, 48 for 48 in the bracket. Wakeman, 47 of 48. The rest of us, brackets torched. And what's great about Wakeman is she doesn't brag about it. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Phone line open at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. For the first time ever on this show, our sports bozo of the day is LeBron James. The act is getting a little tired to me, and I don't know about you. I have praised him repeatedly on this show for being a great basketball player. I have praised him for everything that he's done for the game. I am not one of those people that says, he's the greatest player of all time. Look, I'm not, okay, I don't work in Bristol, Connecticut, okay? Okay? My livelihood does not depend on calling him the greatest player of all time. Because I think he's one of the 10 to 20 greatest players of all time. There have been a lot of great players over the years. Great players. And Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. I mean, you can go on and on and on with a list of great players in the history of this game that have played. He has been the best player of his era. There's no question about it. But what he's been doing lately has been just bizarre the last week or two. He has made it clear he is not being facetious when he says he wants to team up with his best friends in the NBA, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade, before their careers are through. But he's unsure of how feasible the scenario really is. Here's the issue I have with this. There's a couple of issues I have with it. Number one, you're playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You're playing with Matthew Dellavedova, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and so forth. That's your team right now. You're not on the same team with Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade. Now, Anthony and Paul are going to play in the Olympics with LeBron James in Rio. They have all committed to doing it. But at some point, I'm getting a little tired of the act. I praised him for taking less money to go to Miami. A lot of people didn't like him leaving Cleveland and bagging them and going to Miami, but he wanted to win a championship. And he took less money to do it, significantly less money. The max number was $22 million. He took $15 million to play with Miami. Now, you're saying to yourself, $15 million is no sacrifice. But again, he could have received the max contract, and he left $7 million on the table to go do this and do this with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They won two championships. He's been to five consecutive NBA finals. Last year, he took Cleveland there, and Cleveland got a bad break. I mean, they got a bad break in two areas. Number one, Kevin Love was out. Number two, Kyrie Irving got hurt early. And the one thing I think LeBron James did not count on in his career was the rise of the Golden State Warriors. I don't think he counted on that at all. The other thing he didn't count on is the fact that he was going to have a mediocre season this year. You're like, mediocre season? What do you mean? There's no doubt that LeBron James has put up some really great numbers. No doubt about that. But he's, you know what? He's 31 years old right now. And there are some nights in this league, and they're 51-20 right now, so it's not like they're playing poorly. But here's a guy that his numbers are good in terms of 51% from the field, 53% when they win. His rebounds are 8.5 a game in March. His assists 6.5. He's putting up really, really good numbers. But I'll tell you where he's not putting up good numbers. When you look at how he has played, a lot of it has been taking the ball to the basket. And even though he has shot 51% from the field this year, you know, he's only shooting, 29% from three. And out of 163 eligible players in the league statistically, he ranks 150th right now in efficiency outside the paint. That's not very good. And he spent more time in the last 2 weeks talking about everything except the Cleveland Cavaliers. And here's my issue with him on that. Stop dreaming of scenarios of where you're going to go someplace else, because right now, you're looking at 20,000 season ticket holders, and you're slapping every one of them in the face. And again, I'm not one that's really ever... He's had a lot of critics in his career. I haven't been one of them. But watching how he's conducted himself in the last 2 weeks, you're looking around saying, what the heck's wrong with you? We can't have every scenario in life that we want. You've got most of the scenarios in your life you already have. You have championships. You don't have the eight you said you were going to get. You got two, but still, it's two more than most have. And he has nothing to complain about. Now, has he burned himself out in the game? That's quite possible because he's played now 12 years in this league. And when you look at the fact that his team has made five consecutive, whether it's the Miami Heat or the Cavaliers, five consecutive runs to the finals, you are going to play exponentially more games than anybody else. So he has played exponentially more games than anybody else in the NBA in the last 5 years, which has also included, you now add in the Olympics. He's played in those games, too, and he's going to play for his country again. All praise for him for doing all this. But I don't understand why he's doing all this. I need to grab some attention here. What attention do you need? Go out, help your team win. Improve your game. Because his game outside the paint is not very good right now. His game inside the paint, awesome. Outside the paint, that's where I felt he made his greatest improvement as a player when he was at Miami. I thought his outside game was absolutely fabulous. Really made himself a lot better. But now let's take it to the next part on him talking about scenarios. Do you realize that in the history of sports, the single most powerful athlete has been LeBron James? And here's the reason why. LeBron James has had the freedom to really go anywhere he wants, whenever he wants, and affect the franchise that he leaves and affect the franchise that he goes to. You haven't had that kind of freedom over the years in any sport. Babe Ruth, for example, he could never leave the Yankees. The reserve clause prevented it. NHL had no movement for a long period of time. But they're all different sports. This is a five-man on the court sport. Five. Albert Pujols, for example, left the St. Louis Cardinals and signed with the LA Angels. 10 years, $225 million. And the Cardinals' basic premise was, look, over 10 years, do we want to give $225 million to one guy? Or do we want to take that $25.5 million a year and that $22.5 million a year and spread it out with three guys? Well, Pujols, in the prime of his career, goes to the Angels. And how many World Series have they won? How many deep advances in the playoffs have they had? Meanwhile, the Cardinals would just keep chugging along, winning division titles, getting to the playoffs, and they've won a World Series. So that's a guy considered to be one of the best players in his game, but you're one of eight or nine players in a lineup. You're not pitching either. And even the pitcher's out there every 5 days. Kershaw gets a ton of money, but Kershaw changes teams. Does he change the balance of power? No. But LeBron James in a five-man game, he leaves Cleveland, joins Wade and Bosch down in Miami, changes the balance of power. He then goes back to Cleveland. Miami slides back in the pecking order. Cleveland makes it its way to the NBA Finals. Because now he's in combination with Love, whom they acquired from Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins and a couple of others, and they already had Kyrie Irving on the roster. He has more power than any athlete we have ever seen. Michael Jordan didn't have this kind of power. Baseball players, even though they've had free agency, okay, don't have that kind of power to change the fortunes overnight and suddenly make a team a World Series contender. That was a pretender. Remember, Cleveland was an under 500 team when he joined them. So there's no athlete in sports, and hockey's the same way, there's no athlete in sports that can change a team and then transform the team they go to and then really decimate the team they leave like he does. He's got more power than anybody. And his contracts are brilliantly written. For example, he signed a contract last year for 2 years, but it has an opt-out after the first year. Well, he's going to opt out. He will opt out when the season is over with. Because what happens is that under the current NBA Players Association agreement with the owners, the cap and the max number goes up again this year. So if he re-signs with Cleveland, he can re-sign for the max number, which is higher than what he's making now. I think, what does he make now, 22, 23? I think it goes up to, 27? Some number like that, in conjunction with the new TV contract. I mean, what other athlete has ever had the kind of power LeBron James has? That's why when he starts fiddling around with, I want to play with my buddies before it's all said and done. Carmelo, by the way, a max deal. Chris Paul. Dwayne Wade, who now is on a max deal. No team can afford to have all these guys. Let's start with that. And they also, we'd all take less money. Why is it owners can collude, but players can't collude? And why is it owners can't collude, but players can? And that's what bothers me about all this. Why aren't you focused on the game with Milwaukee coming up? Why don't you lock in on that? Why don't you lock in on seeing how far you can take the Cavaliers? And all this pronouncement, I'm in my playoff mode now. I don't care what mode you're in. Just go play. everything he does is just, it just, after a while, the act is just finally starting to wear thin with me. It really is. I mean, you've been the greatest player in the game for the last decade. You've been the greatest player in the game for the last decade. And I don't care what he tweets out. I'm really sick of the fact that, you know, LeBron tweeted this, LeBron tweeted that. I don't care. Reel it in. You got a small window in this thing to do some stuff that maybe you want to accomplish. And you got 20,000 season ticket holders in Cleveland that want you locked in on playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now and not trying to put together your own personal dream team in Los Angeles. I mean, what a slap in the face to them that that's what he's talking about instead of talking about what it takes to win a championship in Cleveland. Like I said, the act is wearing a little thin. It's time to be a professional, right? Be a pro. Be a pro. And I've done nothing but praise this guy over the years. Nothing but. But you know what? What I've seen the last couple of weeks, I'm looking around saying, what is your problem? I mean, is any athlete, he's been highly scrutinized. I know that. But has any other athlete received more praise than him over the same? He receives a lot of scrutiny. I admit that. But he's also had more praise than anybody. Oh, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. Oh, fine. Okay, great. Well, guess what? Don't let the pressure get to you. Just be a pro. Go out and play ball. So that's why, for the first time ever, he warped into our Bozo of the Day. I just don't like the unprofessional way he is conducting himself right now when he needs to work in his outside the paint game so badly because he's ranked 150th out of 163 in outside the paint efficiency. Sorry, I didn't mean to read. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We don't often talk about the NBA on the show, but he's obviously a figure that transcends the sport. I mean, there are very few people on the face of the earth that you just say their first name and you know instantly who it is. If I sit there and go, hey, what about Aaron? You're like going, Aaron who? Aaron Rodgers? Or if I say Tom, you don't instantly think of Tom Brady. But with LeBron, you know, it's like Reggie Jackson. Hey, Reggie. Well, LeBron James is the same way. You say LeBron, you know right away exactly who you're talking about. And what he's done, he's been unbelievably great all these years. Is he having a season that any player in the NBA would ache to have? Yes. Is he having a season to his standards? No. There's only one time in his career he's averaged less than 25 points a game in a season. And that was actually his rookie year. He's actually under that right now. And he's only hitting 29% of his threes, which goes back to the point I made earlier about what he's done outside the paint. That's a part of it. It's just not there for him. But he's spending so much time now, I need to dial back social media. Maybe I'll go on Instagram now. It's like, oh, you know what? To talk to my fans. Oh, okay, well, here, you want to talk to your fans? All right. Talk to them by raising a trophy in your building. That makes a statement. That's quite a talk.
Not a lot of depth on the team right now in the Cavaliers, so it puts even more pressure on Bron.
Oh, no question about it. You know, coach has been fired this year. People are wondering how much he had to do with it. I have no idea how much he had to do with it. I don't cover the Cavaliers.
The coach had a record of 83-40.
Right. But, again, I just don't know because I don't cover the team. So I'm not going to say, I don't really want to get into something unfair about what role he did or didn't play. He says none, and even the management says no, he didn't, and they made the move. Okay. But everything surrounding him has been like a soap opera for years, starting with when he went to Miami. And it is, I don't know. after a while, you know, after a while, just play basketball. All right. It's okay. I guess he was in an Amy Schumer movie, wasn't he? And supposedly he was really good in that movie.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Right. Actually, my wife and I, we just finally watched it on demand about a month ago. It was really good.
And I heard he was very good in it. Yeah, he was actually very funny. So, when you're sitting on one team and you're talking about, gee, I wish I could play ball with my buddies, Carmelo, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade. No, we really like for our careers over with. And if you're a Cavaliers fan, you're looking around saying, hey, what about our team? What about now? That's why I propelled him to that spot today.
Amy Schumer's movie's train wrecked. Actually, be at the Jordan Center in a couple of weeks. You going to go see her?
She's here April 8th, I want to say.
Yep.
No. You know what? I haven't been to a show at the Jordan Center in a long time. I haven't.
For me, Aerosmith, 2002. What a great show. And then the next morning, the very next morning, I was across the window over at 94K exit, 6 in the morning, and the voice was a little rough, but it was worth every penny.
Yeah, I haven't been to a show in the Jordan Center in a long time. Part of it, too, is it's not like I can sneak in. So.
Yeah, but you know every side entrance to that place. Shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, but once you get in, you sort of get noticed. Yeah. And you just like to watch the show and not feel like you're holding a press conference. You know what I mean.
Someday maybe I will.
Well, no, but I mean, I remember going to PNC Park with my son, and I had to spend 3 innings answering Penn State football questions.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.